Hello, this is Jim.
Hello, Jim. This is Rick Trudeau. I'm with the Church of Wells.
Yes.
Hi, Jim. I just wanted to call and see what your plans were. I know that you were in town yesterday, and we heard that you might be here today as well. We were wondering if you'd like to speak.
Speak about what?
I'm not sure. It seems like you may have some things you'd like to speak about.
Well, I think 3 years ago I made it clear to you and to Rudy in love what the issues were. They've been on my testing on the website for 3 years. If you put up Church of Wells Exposed, my testing comes up number one. None of your leadership has given an answer to not one single issue, so I'm not sure what there is to talk about.
Well, I'm sitting here as well with one of the other elders of the church, Brother Jordan. Greetings, Jim. Are you speaking about the question that you were mentioning concerning Sean's prayer? Is that the one you feel has not been answered?
Well, let's be clear. Nothing has been answered. Not one single thing in 3 years. So let's be clear on that. And hello, Jordan.
Greetings, Jim. Just so you know, it's just Jordan and I. There's no one else. Well, my recollection, it was a long time ago, Jim. My recollection of our conversation is I desired to speak with you, but you're pretty contentious, and it was really hard to have a reasonable conversation with you.
Is it contentious when you go to a man's religious body and interrupt his service like Jake and five other men did?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Is it contentious when Jake, your so-called prophet, and five other men go inside another man's religious gathering and interrupts it? Is that contentious?
Well, it's not wrong to contend for the faith necessarily, but if there's strife, like James 3 speaks about worldly wisdom that descendeth, or that cometh from below, that's earthly, sensual, and devilish, and it tends to confusion and strife and every evil work.
And it's really what is paramount is if there's charity, if there's...
Well, hold on. Jordan, hold on. Let me address what Ricky said. So, evil works. You can hear our entire talk, Ricky, or Rick. Is it Rick or Ricky?
Well, you could call me either one.
Okay, because my name's Jim, and sometimes people call me Jimmy, and usually it's condescending, and I don't want to be condescending, so I want to call you what you want to be called. I'll just call you Rick. You can listen to our entire conversation unedited on my website that you and I had for about 40 minutes. And yes, I was contending for the faith. You call it contentious. Am I contentious against false teachers? Absolutely. So was Paul. So was Jesus. As far as throwing out the word evil works, I will require that you show me where my evil works are.
Well, Jim, I just want to say, we obviously believe in righteous contention, and we believe there's a difference between righteous contention and sinful contention. Obviously that depends on what's being contended for and if due process is being followed.
As well as the spirit of meekness that is present. How it says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And it says gentle as well, if I'm not mistaken. So if somebody's speaking and they can't be reasonable, they don't want to go to scripture, and they don't want to let each other finish. These kinds of ways where there's not a burden for charity, there's not a burden, to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's what constitutes ungodly contention and strife. And it says the servant of the Lord in 2 Timothy 2 must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So that's one thing that we really hold in high value. We don't desire to strive. We don't desire to, debate in the flesh, which is sin. I believe you'd agree with that.
Well,
would you agree with that, Jim?
Well, the problem that I have, oh, I agree with much of what you said. You quote scripture. How can I not agree with the Holy Word of God? The problem is when you folks go out and contend, I think Sean was one of them, although he didn't get arrested that day, and one of your men got arrested at a Christmas parade, and he was contending against the pagan practice of Christmas. Now, you're claiming that that's okay, that's good, that's godly, that's contentious. You know, when you quote Paul, and people do this to me all the time, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, these are all wonderful qualities, many of them gifts of the Spirit. That's true. Have you read John the Baptist when he dealt with the Pharisees? Have you read Jesus in Matthew 23 when he dealt with the hypocritical Pharisees? Have you read Paul when he told the Jews that were teaching to be circumcised for salvation, he told them to cut their testicles off? I'm sure you're familiar with that verse. There's a time for gentleness, meekness, patience, long-suffering. But that time ends when you deal with false teachers that are to get a public rebuke, 1 Timothy 5, and called from their sin. There is a time. So please don't tell me gentleness and meekness ends, or I shouldn't say ends, but it is interrupted when a father brings the rod of correction to his son. Gentleness and meekness and patience. Hold on, I'm not done. I didn't interrupt you. See, you always tell me I interrupt. I let you speak. Now I'm speaking and you're interrupting me. Paul was not long-suffering when he said to the man in 1 Corinthians 5, put him out. Jesus, I'm almost done, was not long-suffering in Matthew 18 when he said, if you have a brother, this is speaking of brothers. I don't consider you men brothers. I made that clear yesterday. If you listen to the audio and video I have up on my website, when I talked to 3, 4, 5 of your men, when they came up to me, Jesus said, go to your brother one by one, go two by two, go to the body. And if he won't listen, Jesus' long-suffering ended. Jesus' meekness ended. He said, put him out like a publican. So I think you have a little skewed idea of what meekness, patience, long-suffering is. That is reserved for people striving in the truth, trying, contending, repenting, getting things right. You folks, your leadership, Rick, I can speak directly to you because 3 years ago I talked to you. Jordan, I have no idea who you are. I know who you are, but I don't know what the fruit of this will be. You guys have stood against. You haven't answered. You've continued on. So patience, long suffering ends, and it's time for a rebuke, and it's a loving rebuke to call you out of your sin.
Well, Jim, I'm sorry for maybe trying to cut you a little short there. I didn't know how much longer you were going to go. But the only reason I wanted to cut it short is because we do not disagree with the need to rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I would just argue a few points on what you're saying in your application. You know, with all long suffering means that the matter has been fully heard. You know, Nicodemus said, doth our law judge any man before it hear him? And one short, contentious 40-minute conversation with one man where there wasn't really hardly any progress made to really understand what we even believe is hardly a justification for excommunication.
I would just say as well.
Well, Jim, wait, we're not, there's not, excommunication isn't the problem because you and I, we've never been united. So I'm not sure. This is a local body situation. I've never been. I'm audio recording, so I want this to be clear. I've never been.
We're talking about Matthew 18.
Yes, I said that was Matthew a brother. 18. But did you hear me? I said that's a situation with a brother. I don't consider you guys my brothers.
Well, and you know,
because I don't know what Jesus you're following. My elder, an elder that I would put myself under, would never pray for an enemy, a false teacher, to be killed. That's not what Jesus. I said that to your men yesterday, and your man Chris Smith. Have you watched the video that I put up from yesterday?
Yes, I have. Jim.
Okay.
Could I just say it would be a blessing if we could just go from topic to topic, kind of like you were requesting earlier. I have a number of things that I would like to say about what you said formerly.
Okay, I do have a question, though. I have a question before you start that. Why are not Jake, Sean, and Ryan addressing this when my contention, yep, I'm contending against, like Paul and John the Baptist and Jesus did with the false teachers, why are they not giving me an answer? Why is it you guys? Is it beneath them to come and speak to a man who's calling them out? Because Titus 1 says an elder's supposed to be able to teach with sound doctrine the naysayer. So why am I speaking to Ricky a second time? Or Rick, excuse me, I'm sorry. Some people call you Ricky, that's why I keep saying that. And why am I talking to Jordan rather than Jake, Sean, and Ryan? And let me finish with this. I reached out to Sean 3 years ago via email. I did come to him first. I reached out to Jake and Ryan via email. Never heard from either one of them. Sean messaged me. It went 3, 4, 5 emails, and he said, this isn't going to go anywhere. He wouldn't answer my questions about the troubling things, and he went on his way. So you guys are talking of what you don't know. Like Chris Smith yesterday said to me, he read to me a verse, I think it was from Proverbs, and he said, it's folly to a man who speak of what he doesn't know. So he's speaking about me, and I said, do you know anything about me, sir? He didn't. But yet I know all about, I know all about the Church of the Wells. So how can you say I'm speaking about what I don't know when I know all about you? I have Sean's audio on my website where he prayed for a man to die.
So
why am I talking to you guys rather than them?
Just gonna try to meaningfully respond to the multiple things that you said.
But wait, first respond to why am I talking to you guys? You're not the elders there, right?
We are both elders of the church.
Oh, you're also elders. When did this happen? Rick was a deacon in 2018. Now you're both elders as well? Or just deacons?
No, we're elders.
Okay. So do you teach there too, openly?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, because I guess I haven't been on every single video, but I don't think I see anybody teaching on the website other than Sean, Jake, or Ryan, or is that true? Am I missing your teaching videos online?
There are a few sermons that Jordan and I have preached that are on the website.
Okay, I missed those. So,
you're welcome to listen to them.
But again, I still have to go back. So if you guys are now elders, so are you elders in equal standing with Jake, Ryan, and Sean?
I mean, they have been elders longer than us, so they would be more senior, but we are certainly elders as well.
Do they answer to you and you answer to them?
Yes, we're all in subjection one to another in the fear of God as it's commanded.
Okay, so the question remains, even though you're elders, why am I speaking to you two rather than the three men that I have issues about that are elders? Why am I speaking to you two?
I would be glad to answer that if I could.
Okay.
Is that okay, brother? But I just want to say one thing, Jim. My entreaty to you is I'm willing to speak as long as you desire, but I don't believe that our conversation is going to be profitable if we are carried about from one topic to another. So I just want to put you in remembrance that you asked a question where we were speaking about long-suffering, meekness, and you mentioned the Pharisees, you mentioned the false teachers, you mentioned the Judaizers that Paul was speaking about, etc. And I want to say that as concerning that, I don't believe that you're rightly keeping in mind the context of those passages or the conversation of the men that you're speaking about. Now I can speak about that afterwards if you like, or I can speak about that now. I don't want to pass over the other questions you mentioned. So I'm in your hands, whatever you think would be most profitable.
Well, the first question is, why am I speaking to you two rather than Sean, Jake, and Ryan?
Because it's the Lord's Day, and they're preparing to preach. We're not going to be preaching today. And Ryan is in Peru.
Okay.
And so, the other two are preparing to preach.
So that's in three years, they've never addressed me. Now all of a sudden, because I come to Wells, and I'm going to maybe stand out in front of your building and preach like you guys do to other people, now all of a sudden I get a phone call. Do you see how that can be led to by some people, could be looked at as not genuine? Why has it taken 3 years, Rick?
Well, I've looked at the email exchange that you and Sean had, And what it says, you can look back at your own records, but I have a printout of it in my backpack. I can get it out if I need to. But I looked at it, and where it left off is that Sean said he was ready to speak here. Another one of the elders, or able men of the church, were ready to speak, and you said that it wasn't going to work out at this time. And he said, he asked you, why? Did something happen? And you said, you're going to continue to research the church and do your testing. And that was the last of the correspondence that y'all had. So yep. It wasn't him that was unwilling. It was you that canceled the call.
You're right. You're correct. But that would have been a series of emails. There were other ones afterwards that I went back and said, I've documented now, I'm ready to talk. And he never answered me. And I do have, I believe, in my email, one where Sean said this isn't going to be conducive to go on. But again, I have a question. You still haven't answered my question. Why, after 3 years, when my contention is mostly, I've already talked to Rick for 45 minutes. Why is my contention with Sean, Ryan, and Jake not being met with Sean, Ryan, or Jake? Now, Ryan's in Peru. He hasn't been there for 3 years. He knew about this. He's never reached out to me. Sean, I put the testing up, and I emailed it to him after the testing was up. Never heard anything from Sean. Jake, I've emailed him. I messaged on Facebook. I emailed on your website. I emailed them directly. Never heard from any of them. So the question still remains, why am I talking to Rick and Jordan and not Sean, Jake, or Ryan?
Well, I could answer that. I can't necessarily speak altogether for what the other three elders have seen or known. It would be quite possible that maybe Sean did not receive your correspondence or see it, or somehow he overlooked it. That would be possible. But as for myself, I can say I've not known of your website. I've not known of your testing. I've not known of your open denunciation of the church. And my only encounter with you was a brief encounter where you showed up for 40 minutes and I would say railed on me and railed on the church, which is a sin worthy of excommunication. And then after that, I never heard from you again. Now, I understand now that you were making posts. I've never even seen the video of our conversation. And
it's not a video, it's an audio. And I told you 3 years ago that I was putting a testing up about, and you knew our website was plastered all over our cargo trailer. How can you say you didn't know about us, Rick? That's disingenuous.
I did not know your website.
It was plastered on our cargo trailer, and I told you that I was putting a testing up, and Sean knew about it.
Okay, well, I'm just speaking for myself.
I got a video standing in front of your building right after I talked to you. It's on the website where I said, hey, I just talked to Rick Trudeau, their deacon, and where's the elders? And I have all these questions. It's troubling.
Well, why did you stay after the service?